CITR
1.3. Right, you're on the Crystal on 2SR 107.3, back in the midst of the pandemic. We've got a huge show for you this evening. We'll be recapping the pandemonium that was the week in Australia under the lockdown of COVID with Argy Bargy over who's responsible for the aged care debacle, what's going on in Victoria with the state of emergency, and all the shenanigans with Clive Palmer and Western Australian Premier McGowan. We will also be taking a look at what's going on internationally. Is Australia about to have a messy breakup with China and Donald Trump and the Republican Convention? Your class, all that and more here on The Gristle. Hi, yes, all right, we're back. Under lockdown circumstances here at 2SCR 107.3, only about two people in the studio. Now, unfortunately, we can't identify as half a person here, despite the love of intersectionality we have on this program, so instead we are deciding to adhere to the rules. I'm back, the Pint Attacker. I've been 6 months in Perth, and I decided it was just far too clean, far too virus-free, so I thought I'd fly back. We've got Starvin Marvin there.
Yes, I'm here in the control tower here, Punditaker. Very nervous, and I'm hoping this is all going to be working for us.
Yeah, so for season 2SCR listeners and subscribers, we've actually got one studio calling into the other one, so we have four people here. We've got Sampling Error.
Hello.
And we've got Putin's Bride.
Giddy.
And at the back, we've got Warm Lettuce and a special guest, but unfortunately, they may be stuck in quarantine until we can cycle over. Now, it sounds like people are breaching quarantine or the quarantine of consensus. With the gloves came off this week, I think, with the showdown on aged care. Who's responsible for the debacle? And although we would like to make light of it, frankly, it's the reason so many people are dying in aged care. In Australia, in Victoria, most of the deaths that you read about are unfortunately in aged care. For those of us that have loved ones, it's pretty diabolical. I know my grandmother in Queensland's in lockdown, but she hates people anyway, so she doesn't mind it. Team, it has been a week with Federal Parliament resuming, and the gloves came off with ScoMo under attack. I might throw to you, Sampling Error. How do you think ScoMo fared this week? You know, it's been a bit of a... we all hate each other, but let's act like we're friends. But that seems to be no longer the case. The gloves are off. Andrews and ScoMo seem to be going at it.
I think he might get away with it, to be honest. Daniel Andrews is still overseeing, you know, the second outbreak in Victoria. Things are getting better. There's definitely been a decline in the number of active cases, although there's been an increase in deaths in the last couple of days, which is quite tragic. I think another thing, too, is that from what I can tell, most of the aged care facilities, particularly the ones that have been hit by COVID, are federally run. But because it's such a complex, opaque sort of area of regulation, I don't think anyone really knows who runs what. So really, pretty much all ScoMo has to do is act like it's Daniel Andrews' fault, and I think most people just sort of fall in line with it.
Well, okay, so I want to chuck to you, Starvin. I don't know if you saw the Essential poll, so... Finally, someone actually did a poll about what the hell people think about COVID and who's to blame and who's in charge. And, ScoMo, you know, obviously came off well, but not as well as some have said. Do you think that the average person is laying the blame? Well, do you think that people that maybe don't have old loved ones in aged care care? Like, do you think that this is an issue beyond those people that have grandparents in aged care? And secondly, how much do you think of the stink in Victoria is going to rub off on the Prime Minister? I mean, as Samplinger has said, this is the Prime Minister's, well, this is a federal jurisdiction, and we saw the aged care minister this week. He couldn't even recall how many people had died. Do we see this as a weakness for the government?
The federal government, yeah. Look, it's definitely a little bit of a bump in the road. I mean, who'd have thought that Richard, you'd stick Richard Colbeck in some sort of innocuous portfolio like aged care? You think that will keep him quiet? Won't have to worry. Look, we need a Tasmanian somewhere. We'll stick him in aged care. This guy, we didn't want him anyway.
I think he had a senior moment.
Maybe he did.
I think he had a senior moment.
And then suddenly it's important. It's like Rex Hunt. Not Rex Hunt. What's his name?
What?
Rex Hunt. Yibbity yibbity.
It's like Greg Hunt. Under his watch.
Greg Hunt. Greg Hunt, you put him in health, you think, oh, he's going to keep him quiet, and then suddenly that becomes a really important portfolio. It's a little bit of bad luck in the way that you've arranged the chairs, the dining table here. So, yes, it is a problem because you've got these people who you weren't expecting to be really important for your government in some of the really important portfolios. On the other hand, you do have Victoria, of course, which has had a few problems and, of course, on the other side of the political divide. So it is kind of easy to sort of say, well, you know, what could we do? Andrews is running a show down there.
So I'll throw to you, Putin's bride. And look, I haven't had the pleasure of reading through the transcripts of the Victorian inquiry into just WTF happened down there. But what's the latest in terms of who is and is not to blame? Someone earlier, just before the show, was likening it to a Yes, Prime Minister episode where everyone is to blame and there isn't. Yeah, indeed.
Look, I think there's plenty of blame to go around, but when the minister in charge of aged care, Richard Colbeck, comes up and he doesn't know how many people have died in aged care on his watch, it's not just that he forgot in the moment, it's that he should be thinking about this people who are dying on his watch every second of the day. And the fact that there should be no moment when he can ever not just spit that number out, because he should be focused on it relentlessly. The fact that they asked him and he had to, like, oh, I don't know which page that's on, give me a break. That should be his obsession. It's not an oversight.
His obsession
was... It's pure contempt for the people that are dying that he doesn't know this.
Well, yeah, and you know, I want to throw to the panel, because, sort of here on the Gristle, we like to think that we know a little bit about politics, and, of course, you know, anyone that has been involved in politics knows that as the age of a person goes up, the probability that they're going to vote for the coalition goes up, and it seems like actually that the coalition's not responding to their own baby boomer / older generation constituency here. Do you think this might come back to bite them in the butt? Maybe they might end up with someone's false teeth in their drink over this. Thoughts?
Sampling. I do think there's a bit of a divide here between the people, say the 20s to 30s, that they seem to be thinking that, oh, it's okay to go out now and go to pubs and go to clubs and go back to, and this is where the movement is coming. People we're seeing in Sydney at the moment, there's people in different areas of Sydney with different there's been the clusters that have been moving around, and we've got people in the middle of Sydney, the CBD, now they're someone down south, someone at the north. This is where the danger can come from. But, of course, the people that are going to die are going to be the ones in the... Everybody could die from it, but it is going to be in the upper age brackets. And so there is a bit of a divide. I think some people are being careful and some people aren't.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look out the road here at the Clare Hotel and all the restaurants there, it looks fairly well frequented. Just quickly, Daniel Andrews, So for those that don't follow, he's the Premier of Victoria. How do we think he's faring? Do we think he's gonna survive this? It sounds like the coalition down there are too busy branch stacking the hell out of each other.
Yeah,
basically trying to branch stack their way into heaven, as far as I can tell.
Sounds like a Victorian thing, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, how do we think that the branch stacking scandal? In fact, I might throw to you, Sampling. You have spent a bit of time in Victoria.
Oh, yes.
How does the brand stacking scandal. Basically, where a bunch of religious sort of way out types have decided to try and brand stack in Victoria, and the more centrist groups run by Michael Kroger decided to try and mount a rearguard action. They love a good rearguard action down there. I do want to know, how is this going to impact Daniel Andrews and the perceptions of the coalition in Victoria?
Oh, look, I think the coalition's just absolutely appalling down there. I mean, the opposition, they...
Please don't hold back.
I mean, look, I think they're already widely disliked by a lot of Victorians, and that's probably Daniel Andrews' biggest advantage, despite a lot of the issues on his watch, you know, going back to his ministers or perhaps him personally, and I guess we'll find out in the long run once they do more inquiries. But, I mean, the opposition has been utterly hopeless. They've been calling for, end to lockdowns, and I think someone who's a potential contender for the opposition leader, I think his name's Tim Smith, started, going on a rant around Mother's Day, talking about how distressing it was that people couldn't go out and see their mothers because of the lockdown. Well, 6 weeks later or 2 months later, I think Daniel Andrews has been vindicated in saying, look, we're not letting you out.
Yeah,
I know it's Mother's Day.
Your mother and she's very old, you might kill her.
Yeah, you might be a bit upset that you don't get to see her on Mother's Day, but, it's more upsetting, like a worldwide pandemic killing you and your family or severely injuring and, making you seriously ill. So, I think unless there's some sort of smoking gun, Nixon Watergate style that directly implicates Andrews, he's probably okay.
I think the Fatuta Advocate said it well, that basically, everyone thinks that the coalition down there are a bunch of car salesmen. I want to jump
I
across.
Think that's a bit charitable, to sounds be honest.
Like, yeah.
Sounds like more of a Queensland thing there, really.
Now, the other big issue in federal politics, talking about federal-state relations, is the federal government is not happy, Jan, about the state governments and local governments going off and signing the memoranda. I don't know if they're signing contracts, understandings, getting into bed with foreign governments when only ScoMo is the one that's allowed to get into bed with foreign governments. Putin's bride, is this a case of jealousy on geopolitical Tinder? Why is the federal government pushing back against these fruitful agreements?
Well, this mostly comes down to the Belt and Road Initiative, doesn't it? China's big investment/geopolitical power play.
Loosen the belt, huh?
Yeah, and of course, a few years ago, no one really thought that was such a big problem. The federal government's initial policy was, okay, well, we think...
Well, we appear to have lost Putin's bride there. I hope we haven't lost everybody. Seems to be a problem there with our... with our equipment. Maybe Putin's bride could perhaps move to another microphone and continue on with the discussion in here. Look, just come around here, Putin's bride, and we can use this microphone here just for the moment, and then we can perhaps hear you. There's been a little bit of a breakdown here in the communications. I'm terribly sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Is this any better?
That sounds
fourth,
a lot better.
Fourth
yes.
time lucky.
Give us...
So this is all coming...
Keep going.
This is all coming through about China's Belt and Road Initiative, and down in Victoria, Dan Andrews signed this a little while ago, a few years ago, and at that time, I think the federal government didn't seem to really care, but they weren't very interested in it themselves, but they didn't seem to think it was that big of a problem. And the situation with China has changed a bit since then, and it's gotten a bit testier, and the more, the federal government keeps saying, we want you guys to back off this. And Dan Andrews' response has always been, well, who else is going to pony up the money for these road investments and jobs in the state? And, the federal government's response has been seemingly they want to push, they want to get the CCP influence out of Australia. And I think they're probably doing the right thing there. And I think Dan Andrews has probably got a bit of a blind spot with all this. But it's boiled down into this announcement today or yesterday that we're going to have any lower levels of government that have agreements with foreign governments, they have to be approved by the federal government first. And that seems to be where we left at. But have you guys fixed these technical difficulties? There's a bit of a clown show going on in the background.
I'm sorry, Grizzlers.
Very hard to talk while seeing this pantomime in through the window.
It's very hard, isn't it? Look, we're just doing the best we can here, Grizzlers. Look, I was also thinking that some of the other states, I mean, the Premier of Queensland, Ms. Palaszczuk, has also been very keen to cut off all the borders and give us no respite. Even schoolies is going to be cut back. How are we going to get our lovely Queensland holidays at this very cool time of the year? Pundertaker, what do you think we can do?
Do you mean about? Due to the hard border,
it's these small states cutting off the borders. Isn't it?
It's ruining
the economy.
Yeah, well, look, I flew to Perth in March and enjoyed COVID-free life until I returned here on Saturday. I can certainly understand the sentiment. And look, there are people calling for a reopening of borders and this kind of thing, and obviously they are the squeaky wheels, but the reality is that if you actually look at the polling, people want to be locked down. People want tough love. You know, like one of the things that I think our premiers who may be calling for the easing of borders is one of the things that they're not grasping is the fact that the sentiment of the public is basically that their health matters first and that the economic consequences come second. And it's no unconnected reason why the Premier of Western Australia, who I actually had a chat to a week and a half ago about this.
How is he?
He's good. Yeah, he was actually preoccupied by the fact that a rather large amorphous mass from Queensland has sought to sue him personally for defamation and, you know, was trying to get across the border himself. Oh,
but he had a bit of a win on that, didn't he, this week? So,
yep, okay, so the federal court made... So basically, Clive Palmer has launched a constitutional challenge to the hard border in Western Australia. And that's under Section 92 of the Constitution. And how it works is that the federal court has to make findings of fact, and then the High Court has to make the findings of law. And the federal court said, you know what? What the West Aussies are doing is factually, they made a finding that seemed proportionate and appropriate. Now, that's not really a finding. Well, I'm kind of talking out of my ass a little bit, but basically it was a favourable finding for the Premier, but that's not going to cause Clive Palmer to back down.
No. That's right. He's going all the way up to the High Court, isn't he? Him. Look, we might just take a quick break here on the Gristle. This is the Gristle here on 2SER 107.3. I've got a little bit of George Benson coming your way as soon as I can just bring it up. I think there he is. Oh, there he is.
You can do it, baby. got rhythm, I got rhythm too. Mm-hmm. You got rhythm, I got rhythm too.
Yeah, that's right. You're on 2SC 107.3. And do we have any sound coming from Studio One?
Yeah, you've got me.
All right, okay. We might signal to the other guests to come out of quarantine. So this is live action lockdown radio here on 2SC 107.3. And that was George Benson giving us What For. And Warm Lettuce has entered
right,
the...
Right, Undertaker, you still talking?
Yes, I am. Warm Lettuce, can you hear me?
I can.
Can we? And we have sampling error. All right.
We're back.
I don't know which of these mics you are. All right. So I think let's turn our mind to international matters. Donald Trump and the Republican Convention. How excited were you, Warm Lettuce? And who was your favorite of the bunch? Was it Donald Trump Jr.? Was it Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle? Or was it Donald Trump himself today?
Was Marcia Brady there by chance?
I don't want to sound, sexist, but you mentioned the three female Trumps there and not the... So the three male Trumps and not the two female Trumps.
Yeah, no. Guilfoyle.
And Ivanka had her speech today. And,
Melania?
Yeah, there you go.
Were you thinking of Melania?
Well, they both gave speeches, but yeah. Melania was yesterday.
Let's just try to keep it PG, Warm Lettuce.
Sure,
Warm Lettuce is getting himself all into a...
He's getting very warm.
Into a cold sore here, yeah.
Sort of Trump's. Look, where do we see the US race at the moment? Democratic contender, Biden, is ahead in all the polls. But do we think that the Republicans are going to be able to basically voter suppress and prevent a lot of people, basically poor black people in the South America, from voting? What do we think the chances are of Trump actually winning?
Well, isn't Biden doing worse in the polls at this point of the cycle than Hillary was in key battleground states?
To be honest, I'm not sure, because I heard something today saying that no one's been this far ahead at this point in the race for so long, but...
Well, that's what they said about Bill Shorten.
Why didn't the Democrats pre-select Bill Shorten? I mean, he's got nothing else to do at the moment.
He's ready to go.
He is.
But you've got Trump doing his campaigning from the front lawn of the White House. Well, you know, somewhere in the White House. And this isn't done, is it? I mean, in American politics, it's one of the things you don't do. I think
the issue is that I think it's called the Hatch Act, where if you're a public servant, you're not supposed to be politically aligned. So the issue, of course, is, I guess, White House staff sort of turning the lawn of the White House into the RNC.
Yeah. Well, and this general issue that these are supposed to be non-partisan institutions, but of course, that doesn't matter with Trump. I mean, it's kind of, I think what is very interesting is whether the GOP is going to be able to somehow keep the vote down. And of course, one of the big dangers in the States is that Trump appointed one of his toady donors as the head of the U.S. Postal Service. And so Trump has been slagging off postal voting, even though he voted by mail himself. Team, do we see postal voting being a thing in this election, or do we think that the GOP is going to be able to stymie it?
Well, I wouldn't put it past the Republicans to basically put a bunch of people in blackface, have them fake riot, and then burn down a bunch of post offices. Right?
Like, I think, that actually sounds exactly like
sounds
what...
very Trump.
Yeah.
But why is it that the Republicans think the Democrats are going to win on postal votes? I mean, when there was this very close election that we had a couple of elections ago, I think in Florida it was the postal votes that won the whole election for Bush, wasn't it? I mean, it's not sure that for certain that the postal votes are going to favour the Democrats.
Well, yeah, and this is the interesting thing, actually.
I think the issue is that you've got people saying, look, if we go and, go to vote in a public place, there's a risk of COVID. It could make the existing pandemic that's poorly managed in America worse. So you can't go out. And generally the people are probably going to follow that Democrats, left-leaning people who believe in science. So they'll say, well, we want a postal vote. And then, of course, if Trump or his toadies are going, well, let's just make it impossible to vote, or, oh, hey, we lost like a million votes in a swing state, well, then... the only people going out are Republicans. So I think that's the issue.
But
something I was thinking of is that this sort of dodgy behaviour, potentially on the part of the GOP, isn't exactly new. This stuff's been going on since the Republic was founded. And what I don't get is that when the Democrats are getting billions of dollars in money from donors, why don't they just hire a bunch of people to turn up to sort of marginal areas and basically just say, here's the vote, like, do the vote, we'll go deliver it for you by hand?
Well, I mean, isn't that how they used to work in Chicago and places like that? They essentially just used to rock up and actually used to say, look, you don't even need to fill out your own vote, we'll fill out your vote for you.
Yeah, I mean, they don't need to do that, but they can go there and say, if they go to a community that's been told, we've closed all the local polling places, the nearest one's like 300 miles away, just have some dudes in cars go up and say, look, we'll take the votes for you. And it'd be nice if they also didn't fill in the votes for the people, just literally took what they could get and delivered it themselves.
One proposal I heard was, so Biden raises $500 million. Why doesn't he just offer Trump $500 million not to run? I reckon Trump would take it.
Oh, you might want more than that. But look, the other problem is, though, that the voting system is all run by each individual state. So you have all these cockamamie systems that each state runs, and you can't control anything federally. This is the whole problem with the whole of the United States.
I know. They obviously need to get Huawei to be running their voting system. Look, that's I think all we have time for. We've got On the Park, aka Trailer Park. Actually, a fantastic show coming up next. I believe. Great show. It's been great having some live lockdown radio. Thank you to Warm Lettuce, Sampling Error, Starvin, Marvin. And taking us out is Giant Step featuring Lizzie. And I can't... Don't leave. Well, don't leave too early. Stick around. If we can press play.
There you go. You press play.
Thank you, everyone.